Welcome to the LYA podcast. Liberty Young Adults exists to discover the community that you were created for and to follow the purpose God made you for. This podcast was created so that you can catch up on the sermons that you might have missed or just want to listen to again. Here's Pastor Corbett.
As we just sang, we believe wholeheartedly that God is in this place, and we believe that he's going to move in a powerful way tonight. And so I'm excited that you're here. If you're joining us for the very first time, I just want to say welcome. Thank you so much for choosing to be here and worship with us tonight. My name is Pastor Corbett. I serve as the next gen pastor here at Liberty. And y'all, it is awesome to be back on Tuesday night. It has been too long. We have missed you so much. I got to be honest, it was kind of nice hanging out with my kids and my wife on Tuesday nights for a little while there. But there's nothing quite like being in the room and worshiping God together because he is worthy of all of our praise. And so we're excited. It is a new year. It's a new space. We're in a new building tonight for those of you that are back with us. And we're starting off a brand new series in the book of Daniel. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1 tonight. And my prayer is that God would move and he would work in your life in a powerful way. That you wouldn't leave here tonight the same way that you've come, but that God would speak to you and you would get a real word from him and you would leave here different because you encountered him tonight. When you come to LYA, our goal is not that you just encounter us. We want you to encounter God and we want him to move in your life. There's a lot of people here that are joining us for the first time tonight and you might be thinking, what is LYA? What is Liberty Young Adults? We gather every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock right here in this space because we believe that community is important. God created you not to go through this life alone, but to do it in relationship with other believers. And so we want you to come here and build relationships with other people, but also we believe that we are here for the people that aren't yet in this room. That we come and we gather and we worship, but that God sends us out to go and to share the good news of who he is with the people we work with the people we come in contact with every day. And so if you're here tonight, I want to encourage you when you come back next Tuesday to bring somebody else with you. Don't worry, we've got more chairs. We can fill this room. And we're praying that God would move in an incredible way. So tonight we're starting a new series on the book of Daniel. And as you can see up there on the screen, we've got this awesome graphic that DJ made for us. You got to give it up for DJ. He does a lot to make LYA possible every week. And you might be familiar with Daniel from a story that you've heard as a kid, Daniel in the lion's den. But maybe you don't know the story leading up. And so tonight, we're going to start by looking at Daniel chapter 1. I want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on in the passage before we jump in to where we're going to be tonight. When you start reading in Daniel chapter 1, what you see is that Jehoiakim was king over Israel, king over Judah, and in that time, Babylon had a king called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar and his armies come in and they seize Jerusalem. They capture it. Not only do they capture Jerusalem, but they bring the people back to Babylon with them. And so they bring the best of the best. The passage tells us that they bring the people who are wise, those who are young, those who are strong, those who are without blemish. And their goal is that they would bring them back to Babylon so that they could serve the king there. They wanted to teach them in their literature. They wanted to teach them in their language and in their ways so that they could serve them. When we look in Daniel chapter 1, we see that Daniel, along with three Hebrew young men, are brought back to Babylon, where the goal is that they would serve in the king's palace. They were placed in a city that they were unfamiliar with, that had a different worldview. Babylon was one of the largest cities in the world at that time. And Nebuchadnezzar, who we're going to talk about, is one of the most powerful men, if not the most powerful man in the world at that time. It was a powerful city with strong polytheistic views, which meant they believed in many gods instead of the one true God. So this is the culture that Daniel finds himself in when we start reading in Daniel chapter 1. He wasn't in a place of familiarity. He wasn't in a culture that supported his religion or his views. Daniel was in an ungodly world. What I love about this story is I believe it gives us a blueprint or an example for how we can live for God, how we can live in obedience to him no matter where we find ourselves. Daniel models how God's people should live as exiles. As we look at this story, I think we can make so many connections to our own life and our own faith journeys. If you're a follower of Jesus, this world is not your home.
Scripture says that we are just exiles, that we're just passing through, but we have a home that is in heaven. We are not of this world. We live in a day where it's not popular or even celebrated by culture to be a person of faith. If you stand up for what you believe in, or if you communicate your religious or biblical views, people want you to keep your beliefs to yourself. You may not experience physical persecution. You may not experience bodily harm, but people are real quick to cancel you nowadays if you have a view that is contrary to what they believe. Trying to live for Christ in the current culture can feel like you're swimming upstream. You look at God's word and you read the way that God calls you to live, and you feel like the world we live in is countercultural to that, that everyone else is living a completely different way. But I'm here tonight to look at Daniel chapter 1 with you, because I believe as Daniel was taken from his hometown, as he was taken from the place that was comfortable for him, the place where maybe he practiced his religious views and convictions, and put in a completely different place where the word of God was not valued, where people were living in sin and wickedness, Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to continue to obey God and live in obedience to his word. And I believe that what this world needs more than anything is not a room full of Christians that leave this place and look like the rest of the world, but a room full of believers that leave this place tonight and say, you know what? It doesn't matter where I work. It doesn't matter who I live around. It doesn't matter who I encounter or how difficult my situation is going to be. I'm going to live my life to honor God. And when I do that, I know that my life is going to be different. I know that God's going to call me to be set apart, but I'm going to do it to his glory and trust that the reward that comes from obeying God is far greater than the approval or the praise of man. So let's go ahead and dive in to Daniel chapter 1 tonight. I want us to start looking at verse 5. It says, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. I want you to focus on what verse 8 says here. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Some of y'all are really glad that we weren't doing like group reading tonight, and I didn't call on somebody to read out those names. I felt kind of bad on Sunday. I was helping out at one of our other campuses, and without looking down at the passage we were getting ready to read, I was like, can I get a volunteer? And this little sixth grade boy raised his hand, and the whole passage was like biblical names. And he was just like, I was like, I'm really sorry. So I learned from that. I'm not putting anybody on the spot to read really hard names tonight. But the first thing that I want us to see from this chapter is the choice to obey. The choice to obey. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or drink. The word resolved means firmly determined. That Daniel made a decision that he wasn't going to defile himself. He wasn't going to go against his convictions by eating what the king had put before him and what he requested that he would eat. Now you might be thinking, what was wrong with the king's food? Why couldn't he eat what the king of Babylon had, the meat he put before him, the wine that he offered him to drink? And there's many different explanations for this, and I don't know that there's one that explains it perfectly or that is the exact reason, because the reality is the passage doesn't tell us. But it makes it clear that something that he was offering him went against what Daniel believed. Perhaps based off of what we know about Babylon and the way that they served many gods and had altars to many different gods, perhaps the food they were giving them was food that had been sacrificed or offered to idols. Perhaps it was food that had not been prepared in a kosher style. Or maybe it was food that had been considered unclean. But whatever the exact reason was, it's evident that there was something about what they were trying to get Daniel to partake in that went against his belief, that went against the law that he was following, that he believed is what God had called him to do. We see that Daniel and the Hebrew boys that are with him, they make this strict and determined effort that they're going to continue to do what God had called them to do rather than partake in the food that the king had put before him. I want to remind you tonight that as we look at this passage and we see Daniel and these others just refuse to assimilate to the culture, but to continue to remain devoted to their God, that as I mentioned a few moments ago, this world is not your home. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to be set apart. Scripture calls us to be different. And what that means is the way that we live shouldn't look the same way as everybody else. We shouldn't do the same way things that everybody else does. We shouldn't talk the same way that everybody else does. We shouldn't watch the same things that the rest of the world is, because we want to be holy as God is holy. And we want our life to be a picture of the love that God has for the world. You've got to make a choice. You've got to determine, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow the one true God. And here's what's so important. Obedience to God is not circumstantial. I think sometimes we think, I'm going to be obedient when all of my situations and my circumstances and everything falls in my favor. When it's easy, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to read the Bible and I'm not going to use foul language. But on those days that it's hard, all that's going out the window. You know, sometimes we think that it's okay to be obedient when the circumstances align. It's not something that we do when we feel like it. It's not something we do when our circumstances are ideal, but it's a choice we make that transcends our situation. It's a commitment that we make to God, that I'm going to follow you no matter what I face, no matter what anyone else thinks, no matter what it may cost me. And that's that dedication and that devotion that we see from Daniel, that even though he was in a less than ideal situation, he said, I'm going to remain obedient to God because I know that's what matters most. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. I want us to keep reading, starting in verse 9. It says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who ate the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. The first thing we see in the passage is the choice to obey. The second thing that we see is the cost of obedience. And again, I want to go back to the context of our story so that we can grasp the magnitude of the decision that Daniel has made in this passage. Daniel has been taken captive. He's been removed from his homeland and taken to another city where he is now under the king. And King Nebuchadnezzar, who I mentioned earlier, is one of the most powerful men of that day, says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to eat of my portions. I want you to be trained in our literature. I want you to be trained in our language. And we are going to equip you and prepare you to serve in our palace. And Daniel has the boldness to stand by his convictions, likely what was written out in scripture in the Levitical law, that he wasn't going to defile himself by going against what God's word had written, even if it meant that he would have to stand up to the king. Now, the reality of that is he is someone who is captured from battle and brought to a foreign land. He doesn't have a whole lot of bargaining chips to play with here. It's not like Nebuchadnezzar is like, okay, Daniel, you're a great guy, so I'm just going to let you do what you want to do. It's very likely that when he makes this decision, he's putting his life on the line. Nebuchadnezzar could have easily said, this guy's not following along with him. Get him out of here and get rid of him. Like, I want you to grasp the magnitude of that situation. When he chooses to be obedient to God, it's possible that he's choosing, God, I'm going to obey you even if it costs me my life. Even if it means that my time on this earth comes to an end. It's an incredible decision that he makes in this passage. By choosing not to do this and standing firm on what he believes, he's putting his life on the line. When Daniel chose to obey, it meant that he couldn't do what everyone else was doing. He couldn't eat what everyone else had. He would be isolated. He would stand out. He would probably be ridiculed by others. But he did it anyway. Why? Because obedience to God was more important than the approval and the acceptance of others. The cost of obedience. I want to make a statement that's probably unpopular. If you're going to follow Jesus and live in obedience to his word, it's going to cost you something. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to follow Jesus and live in obedience to his word, it's going to cost you something. As I've mentioned throughout the night, you are called to be set apart. You can't have the benefits that come from knowing God while still clinging to the desires of the flesh that were a part of your former life prior to knowing him. It's just not the way it works. When you encounter Jesus, he changes everything. He makes all things new. If you're truly following him, it will cost you. As I mentioned earlier, you can't go everywhere that everyone else goes. You can't do everything that everyone else does. You can't speak the way you used to. You can't live the way you once did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and your body is the temple of the living God, and he has called you to be set apart for his purpose. He has called you to be holy as he is holy and to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. When you encounter Jesus, if you truly know him and you're walking with him, you can't keep living the way you once were, because it's not what happens. When we encounter Jesus, it changes everything. When you're truly following him and living in obedience to him, it might cost you relationships. It might cost you social status. It might cost you a job promotion. It might cost you friendships. And you're probably thinking, I don't know why you're preaching this. This is not a very encouraging message on our first night back of like, man, follow Jesus and lose everything that you're desiring. No, I promise it's going to get better here in a minute. I want to make another bold statement, but I believe it is extremely profound. If following Jesus doesn't cost you anything, you're probably not following him at all. If following Jesus doesn't cost you anything, you're probably not truly following him. You're reading scripture and taking the parts that you want, and then you're following your own desires. Because when you commit that you're going to live in obedience to God's word, it will cost you something. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26 says this: Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Jesus said, If you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross. That daily, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. It's going to cost you something. It's not going to be easy. Not everybody's going to be doing it. You're going to be in the minority if you are truly giving it your best effort, if you are truly wholeheartedly following me. But here's the catch. The reward for doing it is far greater. The cost is great. But the reward that comes from walking with Jesus and knowing him and being used by him is far greater. I once heard it said, the cost of discipleship is great, but the cost of non-discipleship is far greater, because it means you miss out on knowing the one true God. You miss out on knowing the one that you were created for. Every one of us is created with a longing and a desire for eternity in our hearts that can only be filled by walking in a relationship with God. The things of this world have an appearance of riches and of things that we need, but scripture tells us that they're temporary, that they might be enjoyed for a moment, but they don't last. They can never satisfy. Why? Because there's only one that can satisfy you. And it's not your future spouse. It's not your best friend. It's not that thing that you desire most. It's the one who created you that longs to have a relationship with you. The first thing we see in the passage is the choice to obey. The second thing that we see is the cost of obedience. And the third thing that we're going to see is the reward for obedience. Let's look back at our passage. Daniel chapter 1, verse 15. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they were drinking and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found. Get that. None was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And look at what verse 20 says. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. The reward for obedience. God always, always, always blesses obedience. And I don't want you to hear that as some sort of prosperity gospel, because it's not. I'm not saying that if you obey, you're going to be rich and everybody's going to like you and you're going to be famous. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God always blesses with that that truly matters, those who respond in obedience. When we look at the passage, it says, after 10 days of eating veggies, Daniel and the other Hebrew men were better in appearance. They were fatter in flesh. Not flatter. That would not have been good. They were fatter in flesh. God blessed them, and he supernaturally equipped them. There's something you might miss in this passage if you don't read it carefully. They weren't better because they were superior. They were better because God's hand and his power was on their life. It says in the passage that God gave them. He gave them learning. He gave them skills. He gave them wisdom. He gave them understanding. If you even read more closely, you see that he gave them favor with the king and with his men. And it says that there was none found like them. In every matter, the king found them 10 times better. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't just want what I can do with my life. I want what God can do in and through my life. I want God's hand on my life. I want God's power working through my life. But you know where that comes? When we live in obedience to him. When we present ourselves as vessels for his use. When we present ourselves as living sacrifices. When we walk in obedience to him, God works in and through us. God blesses those who are obedient. But my fear, as we gather here tonight, is that far too many of us settle for a mediocre version of Christianity. That far too many of us settle for an average version of Christianity. I'm even going to take that a step further. We settle for a frustrated version of Christianity. And here's why. Because we believe in Jesus. We've given our life to him. But we continue to hold on to the things from the former life. And so though the Spirit of God lives inside of us and has given us that desire and longing for something more, we continue to gratify the flesh. And so there's this constant tension that exists inside of us. So we wrestle with this frustration of knowing that there's something more and yet continually being unsatisfied with the things of this life. There's a passage in scripture that I had the opportunity to share with our school of ministry last week or the week before that God just took a phrase and it jumped off the page at me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, take hold of that which is truly life. Take hold of that which is truly life. And here's the context. What made that so powerful? The whole chapter, Paul is writing about, don't store up your riches on this earth. Don't store up your treasures in the things of this life. But be rich in good works. Be rich in righteousness. Share with others what Christ has done. What is true life? It's not acquiring all the things of this world that we can get. That never satisfies. It leaves people empty. It leaves people searching. Paul says, if you want to experience true life, It comes from focusing your mind not on the things of this world, but on the things that are eternal, the things that are going to last. John says a similar thing in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John. He says, I come so that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. That God's plan for your life is not a mediocre version of Christianity. It's not a frustrated version of your faith, but he came so that you could truly live and so that you could experience life in abundance. But I fear that far too many of us fail to trust him with that. The cost of following Jesus is great, but the reward is far greater. And again, I fear that so many of us are blinded and captivated by the things of this world that it keeps us from experiencing the fullness of what God has for us. That we can't bring ourselves to believe that God has a greater reward for those who follow him than what this world has to offer. And so what happens is we kind of keep trying to do the Christian thing, but still with that other foot in the world, keep trying to be like the people around us. We go to work, and instead of sharing about what God has done in our life, we keep quiet so we don't upset or offend anybody. We keep looking at and listening to and doing all the things that we know are leading us down the wrong path, and it leads us to a place of frustration, not to a place of fulfillment. In the life of Daniel, we see that Daniel chose obedience against all odds. He chose to honor God, even when it might cost him his life. We saw that the cost was great, and the cost is great in your life. And I want to be real with you. Jesus says to his disciples in Scripture, count up the cost. Before you choose to follow me, count up the cost and see if you're willing to do it. The cost is great. But I can also tell you wholeheartedly, the reward is far greater. There's a picture I want to put up on the screen that I want you guys to see. And you might have seen this before, maybe on social media. I saw this one time, and as I was preparing for tonight, I kept thinking about this image. There's an image of Jesus holding a teddy bear saying, just trust me. And there's this image of this little girl holding a much smaller teddy bear saying, but I love it, God. And it seems like a very simple illustration, but I feel like it exemplifies so many of our lives that we want to just hold on to the things that we think make us happy. We want to hold on to the things that we think we can control. We're scared to really surrender and give God everything. But yet this is what's really happening. God has so much in store for your life. So much blessing that he wants to bestow upon you. So much joy, so much peace, so much hope that he wants you to encounter. And we miss out on it when we fail to trust him. When we try to cling to the things of the former life. When we try to control things ourselves. And so my challenge for you tonight is very clear. What are you holding on to? Believing that you can't let go, that is ultimately causing you to miss out on God's blessing. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that's holding you back? That's keeping you from experiencing God's blessing, his peace, his joy, his hope, being able to live a life of contentment that isn't based on your circumstances, that isn't based on your situation, but is rooted in the truth that you know him, your hope and your future is rooted in him, and there's nothing this world can do about it. I want to challenge us tonight to be a people of God that knows it's going to cost us something, and we're still committed to obedience because we believe that our God is a great rewarder and it will always be worth it when we follow him. Think about Daniel. All these thoughts must have been going through his head. If I obey, I might not be allowed in the palace. If I obey, I might get killed. If I obey, I might be an outcast. If I obey God, I might not have any friends. And yet he did it anyway. Obey anyways and believe that God is in control. So the title of our series is Living for God in an Ungodly World. How do we live for God in an ungodly world? You choose obedience, you understand the cost, and you remember that God's reward is always greater. I want to pray for us. Our worship team is going to come up, and they're going to be in place to lead us here in just a minute. And I just want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you're here, and this is all new to you. Maybe you don't know what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him. We would love to share that with you tonight. We would love to share with you how you can know that heaven is your home, that you have a relationship with God, that your sins are forgiven, that you can encounter and experience that peace and joy that comes from knowing him. Don't leave tonight without talking to one of our life team members, without coming and seeing me. We want to be able to share that with you. But maybe there's many more here tonight that God's speaking to your heart in the area of obedience, in the area of living your life the way that he's called you to live. I pray that as we start off this semester, that you wouldn't let anything hold you back. That as we worship in just a few moments, that right where you are, maybe you would hit your knees, maybe you would come to the front, that you would just spend time confessing to God. That you would spend time asking him for his power, and that you would commit that you're going to live in obedience to his word. And my prayer is that God would do an incredible work in and through you. That God would change the world through the people in this room. I believe he can. I believe he wants to. Are we willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your word that speaks directly into our lives, that though written a few thousand years ago, is still applicable in our everyday journey as we seek to live for you. God, I pray that you would move in the hearts of people all around this room tonight. God, that we wouldn't live here and just go back to the old life, the old ways. But God, we would leave here committed to follow you, to serve you, to make a difference so that your name can be exalted. May we not be deterred by fear, but may we respond in faith. And as we do so, would you receive all the glory for it? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were encouraged and convicted through this message. Want to know more information about Liberty Young Adults? Visit libertylive.church/youngadults or follow us on Instagram at libertylya. See you next week.